of Jesus, whenever everything is going great or we have in these mountaintop experience, it's very, very easy to understand that. Am I right? Like when everything is going good, if you show up at the office tomorrow morning and they bring you in and say, hey, we decided we were going to do a quick evaluation with you. Some of you are freaking out. Others of you are like, well, it's about time. And so they bring you in. They said, look, we like what you're doing so much. You become so valuable to us. We're going to give you a 23% increase in pay. High five your neighbor and say, I claim it in Jesus' name. 23. I don't know why I picked 23, but it's better than 22. You know what I'm saying? It's better than 22. And so in that moment, that's where you're feeling all spiritual and stuff. Praise the Lord. Glory to God. Hallelujah. You know, like everything bad could go, I mean, it could just go bad the rest of the day, but it's kind of like, Holy Ghost, you know. But what about when that doesn't happen? Like when your team wins, it's like, Jesus, woo. Because you know, some of y'all were praying yesterday. A lot of us were not. We're just watching you pray. And your kid sleeps through the night. Like when you have a baby and your kid sleeps through the night, y'all know what I'm talking? Anybody ever had that little experience before? Some of you are like, it's been years, still ain't happening. But like when you have a baby and your kid sleeps through the night, it's like you just feel holier. You just do. I don't know what it is. Or when you get that good parking spot that you didn't get today, and it's going to rain, you know what I'm saying? It's great. But then there's those valleys, and that's where it's difficult, because that's where we feel alone, we feel scared, because a lot of times it's in those places where we're hurting. It's a lot of times when we get bad news that we're trying to figure out, God, where are you? Seriously, this is where we're struggling, because we want to know, God, where are you? And today, what I want to help us to see is that no matter what you're walking through, no matter if you're on the mountain right now or if you're deep in the valley, I want to help us to see today that God is with us. Amen. That's what I want to help us to see. So as a pastor, I was thinking about this. I've seen people walk through some really, really difficult things. Like when you see a family that's dealing with a kid that has a sickness, that's hard, especially whenever it's something that the doctors say there's nothing else we can do. Those are some of the toughest moments that I've ever seen people walk through. Job issues where someone is really struggling, just trying to find work. And it just seems like every door is closed. Or a family member, you find out that they have cancer. And they throw that one word at you and your mind just goes crazy. And even though they say we caught it early, it's just all the stories that we've heard and all these things that we know about with that, it just really scares us. Or maybe the loss of someone in our family or a close friend, it just really puts us in a place that we were uncomfortable with, because it's like, God, where are you? How is this happening? Maybe it's marriage issues. Maybe it's a battle between a father and a son. Just a number of different areas where it just feels like we're in a valley. And these places, it makes us feel really, really lonely. Am I right? Just even though there are people and support systems around us, it just kind of makes you feel like, why? I'm just doing this by myself, and maybe puts you a little on edge, because if that other person maybe showed that they cared a little bit more, it would make you feel a little bit better. Anybody knows what I'm talking about? It's just, and I think those are valleys. And we like to talk about the mountains, but we want to stay away from the valleys. And it's so important that we talk about this, because so obvious that Jesus and God is like right there on the mountaintop. It's like, I'm so close to heaven, I can feel him. But when you're in the valley, you feel like, watch this, you feel like you're closer to hell than you do to heaven, because it's such a low place. But I want you to know, just as much as God is with you on that mountaintop, I want you to know today that God is with you just as much in that low place and in that valley. And if there's anything you get out of this message today, it's the understanding. And it's almost like you got to train yourself to believe it, that no matter where I'm at, God is with me. He didn't forget. He didn't leave me. He didn't forsake me. He is with me. So this is what I learned about the valley, though. And this is so important. Even though valleys are places where we're struggling, we're feeling lonely, overwhelmed, valleys are also places where we grow the most. follow with me, okay? Because you were feeling good because we were relating there for a moment. You know, when I was talking about how bad it is, everybody's like, ooh, you know it. But then when we start turning the corner and we talk about growth, it's like, oh, I need a break, preacher. Just calm down. But I have found that valleys are places where we grow. I found that valleys are places that we build our faith. I found that this is where we experience God in ways that we have never, ever experienced Him before. Because literally in the valley, it's like we have nothing else to lean on. And all the little props that we've been using for so long to make us feel better, all the coping mechanisms, they're not working anymore. And it's in that valley place that we realize, God, all I have is You. And you start to see God answering in ways that you never knew He can answer and responding with peace and love and hope in ways that is like, what have I been doing all my life? Like, where's this been? And it's been there all along. It's been there all along. It's just that valley made it real to you. We overlooked all this stuff. You ever looked for something at home and you couldn't find it? And so you decide, well, we can't find it. We don't have time to keep looking, so let's just go buy another one. So you went and bought another one. And 2 weeks later, when you were looking for something else, boom, there it was. And some of y'all, you were trying to figure out how to bring that other thing back after you done used it about 10 times. Don't do that. Sell it on Craigslist. Anyway, here's the main thought for the day, and I want you to jot this down, okay? This is the main thought, I got to go two avenues today. I got to teach this and preach this. Because if I preach it, I'll just inspire you and make you feel really good. You'll walk out of here chest bumping, tackling people and stuff. But I got to teach it to you so that you remember it tomorrow. You know what I'm saying? Like, I'm glad you're going to feel good today, but I need you to remember this tomorrow. And I need you to remember this like on Wednesday at 12:23 in the afternoon. You know what I'm saying? Where you just don't feel like it anymore. That's where we got to remember this, and where you're just trying to work for the weekend, it seems like the weekend's never coming. That's where we need these kinds of things. So I gotta take two avenues with this. Here's the main thought. We may enjoy God on the mountaintops, but we get to know Him intimately in the valley. We enjoy Him on the mountaintops, but it's in the valleys that we really, really get to know someone. Let me say it like this. You can hang out with people, but what you see when you hang out with them is not the real them. When they start going through something, now we see what they're really made of. Now you really see what their values are. Now you really see where their faith is. And I believe it's the same thing in our lives because we want to enjoy God. We want to have these moments. But I believe it's in those valleys, in those hard times that we really experience and get to know God for who He really is. And I believe that's where we find out that God is more than just a figure, that He is more than the old man upstairs, but He is a very present help in times of trouble. Are you following me today? You see how you do that? You say it nice and then you fire it up a little bit and people start coming along. Just got to get you. Come on. We enjoy Him on the mountaintops, but we get to know Him in the valleys. And I think there's a verse in Psalms that really, really highlights this. And forgive me for wiping my forehead, but it is H-O-T up here. And so I needed to wipe the sweat. Okay, Psalm 84, verse 5 through 7. Pay attention to this. Some of the wording, you're going to say, man, Pastor, that's deep. Hang on, we're going to break it down, okay? Psalms 84, verse 5, it says, blessed are those whose strength is in You. Okay, so far, so good. Whose heart are set on pilgrimage. I know right there you're like, what is that? Hang tight, we're going to go there. As they pass through the valley of Baca, say Baca. As they pass through the valley of Baca, they make it a place of springs. The autumn rains also cover it with pools. They go from strength to strength till each appears before God in Zion. And there's half the people here right now like, what is all this? Baca, Zion. I mean, what are we doing? Learning a new language here today? I'm going to break it down for you because there's so much meaning in this that it's going to help you through these valleys that we walk through. So watch this. Usually, when a valley is mentioned in the Bible, the idea that we get is like it's a dry place. It's a desert country, okay? There's thorns, wild animals, snakes, dangerous stuff. This is the pictures that we come up with in our minds. And it seems like it would be a place that's nearly impossible to travel through. Now, listen, let's not just think with our travel minds, okay? Because there are parts of me that wish I could see this great country before it was all developed. You know what I'm saying? So like right now, when you drive through a valley, you're driving on a road that has been paved. So when you look out, it's scenery. But when there is no road and you're trying to find your way, it's scary because you don't know which way to go. And so you got to understand the context that this is being written. There were no highways. There were no GPS. There were no phones that could tell you which is north, south, east, and west. These people were looking at the stars and the sun. And you ever tried to figure out which way is the sun? Like, is that east? Is that west? I don't know. It's just hard because you don't know where you're at. Get lost one time and you realize that. So the context of this is because there is no reference. There is no place. There is no little map that says you are here. There's just, I'm lost. I don't know where I'm at. And I see the sun over there, but does that mean it's the east? Does that mean it's the west? Or is, I don't know. I'll just wait for the sun to go down and look at the stars. Do you see the challenges that are presented here? And so when you start hearing about this in the valley, even though there is a lot of things going on, it's not this road trip of enjoyment. It's really scary because the perspective is limited. Watch this. On a mountaintop, you can see distance and you can see what's over there. But when you're in the valley, I can't see what's over there. And this is what I know about us. We don't like it when we can't see it because we're a see it before I believe it kind of generation. And God is a believe it and you'll see it kind of God. Do you see the disconnect? That's why we struggle in the valleys. That's why we question if God is with us, because we can't see it. So when you start hearing about this, you can understand the fear, you can understand the hardship, you can understand the trouble that comes with the valley. Now watch this. This valley of Baca, when you read the Old Testament, you really got to understand that there's meaning behind these names, and there's a lot of words, there's a lot of numbers that have some meaning. And I know it just makes everybody feel like this is so deep, but let me say it like this. The Old Testament is like the teaching illustration of the truth that is presented in the New Testament. It's kind of like God said, let me give you the illustration, and then I'll send you the person. Are you grabbing this? A lot of us, we visual learners. We got to see it first. That's why we like watching instructional videos on YouTube. And then after we watch that show on HGTV, we feel like we can remodel the whole entire house. Am I right? Because we saw that one video, and in 1 hour, Chip and Joanna just flipped a home. And we tried to do it in an hour, and we couldn't find our tools in 1 hour. It's true. Because we saw it, we just believed that it can happen. So watch this. Let me break it down for you so you understand the meanings of these words. The word Baca, the Valley of Baca, is also known as the Valley, watch this, the Valley of Tears. Listen, I'm not trying to preach bad news today. I'm just trying to tell you what the Bible says. It's the Valley of Tears. It's also known as the Valley of Weeping, a Valley of Loss. And when you start hearing that, you start to feel like, hey, I feel like I've been there before. Anybody know what I'm talking about? I feel like I've been through that same valley that you're talking about. I didn't know it was called Baca. I just thought it was Tallahassee. Some of you tomorrow, you're going to be like, everything's falling apart, Baca. And your friends will be like, are you using profanity? Is that a new word I didn't hear about? Baca. But watch this. We're headed to Mount Zion. I don't know if you caught that in the scripture. We're headed to Mount Zion, but along the way, we had to go through the Valley of Baca. We were trying to get to the mountaintop because that's the place that we enjoy it. But along the way, along our journey, trying to get there, we went through some things. And while we were going through it, this is the place where we begin, watch this, to lose our way. We question so many things. We question God. We question ourselves. We question even our own decisions. Decisions that we thought we made a long time ago that we were settled on. Now all of a sudden we're questioning them. Why? Because our perspective is limited because we haven't been to the mountain in a little while. So what I want to help you with today is how to make it through a valley. Anybody want to hear this today? How to make it through a valley. Y'all ready? Okay, so let's break this down. Psalm 84, verse 5. It says, blessed are those. Notice how it says that. Blessed are those. Meaning there's a blessing on those people whose strength is found in God. So it's almost like a double whammy. Not only am I getting strength, but there's a blessing on me for finding my strength in the Lord. That's pretty cool. Like I asked for one thing and I got twice as much. I asked for just, all I need is one. Just one favor and God did me two. I hope you're seeing a picture of how good God is. And it's conflicting because sometimes we think God just wants to punish. But I want you to know, if you read your Bible and really look at it, you'll understand that God's more into blessing than he is into punishing. I promise you. So let's break it down like this. How to make it through the valley. Number one, and this is going to be, you're not even going to be happy with this point, but I'm going to tell you anyway, seek his strength. And you're like, I already knew that. Why do you tell us stuff that we already know? Am I right? Yeah, you can go ahead and agree. I know that's how you feel. Pastor, take us deeper. Take us to the deeper truths of the Word of God. I'm taking you to the deepest truth. It's all leaning on him. That's deep. That's strong. Seek his strength. Now watch this. It doesn't say blessed are those who make it on their own. That is not what it says. But yet that's what we try to do. We try to do it on our own. So as independent as you want to be, you were made to depend on God. Let me say that again for those who are independent or free-spirited. As independent as you want to be, you were created to depend on God. And this is so important because a lot of us are trying to do it on our own in efforts to prove possibly how good we are or possibly how strong we are. And I think God's just up there like, what are you doing? Like, what are you doing? Seriously, calm down, son. I'm here to help you. You're getting worked up for nothing. I got you. We're created to depend on God. But this is what happens when we don't know God personally. This is what happens when all you have is all you have. Are you grabbing this today? When all you have is all you ever turn to instead of turning to him. And I would say this, that there are folks in this room today that would not turn to God because they would feel too ashamed to go to him. Because perhaps you've tried to do it on your own and it didn't work out. And now the guilt factor and the shame factor has kicked in full force. And you feel like if I go to God, it's just going to be punishment. It's just going to be, I told you so. And I believe God's going to say, I've been waiting. I've been ready. Let's do this. Let's knock it out. I believe that's what God would say. Come on, do you believe that today? Because you're looking at me like, I don't know. I don't know, Pastor. You don't know what I've been up to. You don't know what I've been doing. I think if you knew, you would be mad at me. And if God knew, and he does, that's the thing that trips me out. God already knows. And yet he still pursues us. Isn't that awesome? That he already knows and yet he still pursues us. We reach these points of exhaustion. Can't take it anymore. I don't know if I can make it. When we're weak, that's where his strength, watch this, is perfect. That's the perfect answer to your weakness. He is the perfect answer to your weakness. Let me say it like this. If you can't reveal your weakness to God, who are you going to be able to reveal it to? Because for every weakness you have, he has strength. And I believe the enemy does such a good job of deceiving us to believe that we're not good enough for God's strength. Listen, you may not feel like you're good enough, but I want you to know God's good enough for your weakness. Did you hear that? You may not feel good enough for God's strength, but God's good enough for your weakness. Somebody needs to write that down. So watch this. In order to seek his strength, you got to call on his name. Let's make it simple. Make a call. God, I need help. When it's overwhelming, I can't do it. I got to make a call. When it's too heavy to bear, I got to make a call. I can't lift this by myself. If I do, I will hurt myself. I need you to hear that. Because sometimes we think people are hurting us, and sometimes we are hurting ourselves. And we're hurting ourselves by trying to carry stuff that we were never meant to carry on our own. Come on, this is so good. It's too much. His strength. You got to call him. And this is what puts us on our knees in the middle of the valley. Because we've been trying to stand up to everything. And God is just saying, hey, bow down to me. And this is the moment where we say, God, I can't do this anymore. I'm struggling. I'm overwhelmed. I'm losing my mind. And I need your strength. And the point of, this is the point that you got to hear. That point of brokenness is the point where God is right there. In Psalms, it says that he is near to those who are brokenhearted. Did you hear that? It's usually in our brokenhearted moments that we feel like God is so far away, but he just decided to slide that verse right there in Psalms to remind you that when you're brokenhearted, I'm there. I see it. I feel it. I know what you're going through. And I believe it breaks God's heart whenever we don't lean on him for help. When we lean on ourselves or we lean on someone else, call on his name. God, I need your help. If you were trying to take on a project at home and it was too much for you to handle, what do? You get on the phone and you call a friend. I can't do this. Look, we were remodeling this house and I needed some free help. You know what I'm saying? With experience. So I call my dad. Dad, come help a brother out. He came and helped the brother out. Because I couldn't do it on my own. I had to call. I had to ask for help. But this is the deal. When we ask for help, we feel like it's saying, I can't. And you've already been telling yourself that. And so instead of just telling yourself you can't, why not say, God, I can't. But let's keep reading because there's more to it. Watch this. Psalms 84, verse 5, it says, what joy for those whose strength comes from the Lord, who have set their minds. If you wrote in your Bible, I would underline that. Who set their minds on a pilgrimage to Jerusalem. I'm liking that word today. I don't know why. Pilgrimage, because we don't say it often. Who set their minds on a pilgrimage to Jerusalem. So here's number two. Number one, I got to seek his strength. Number two, though, I've got to set my mind. I've got to set my mind. You ever had to hit reset button on your computer before, on your phone? Your phone just acting crazy. People like, I'm trying to get in touch with you. And you're like, I got nothing. When's the last time you reset your phone? Didn't you reset it? Your phone's blowing up. You got 86 text messages, 4,363 emails that you didn't know you had. One of them was from your boss. You know what I'm talking about? Reset. Set your mind. Blessed are those who have their minds set on pilgrimage to Jerusalem. In other words, set your mind towards God. Set your mind towards him instead of just the struggles in the valley. See, most of the time we're so focused on what's wrong that we can't see what's right. Listen to me, you got to hear this, because a lot of times people check out right here because it's like, you don't understand what I'm going through. But I would say this, you don't understand it. If you would just set your mind on him, you would see that you can get through what you're going through. You can get through it, amen? Look at your neighbor and tell him you can get through it. Help me preach this today. I don't feel like I'm doing as good as you need me to. You can get through it. So let me just say it like this. Set your mind means I have made up my mind that I'm going to keep following Jesus even though chaos has ensued in my life. Even though I'm walking through a valley, I've got my mind made up that I'm going to follow him. That pilgrimage to Jerusalem, it is the path that leads to God. It is the path that leads to all that God has for me. And when I'm going through that valley, I've got to make sure that I have my mind set on staying the course, or else I'll drift away and miss everything God's got for me. And I might have temporary relief in the valley for a few moments, but it can lead to a lifetime of stress and anxiety. See, a lot of us are getting off the path for an attraction, and it's becoming a distraction for everything that God has for us because it's meeting an immediate need, but we're missing the big picture because God has all we need. Yeah. Come on, you're hearing this today. See, you teach it, you preach it. I made up my mind that no matter what, no matter the valley, no matter the mountain, no matter the blessing, no matter the pain, no matter what, I've made up my mind, I will follow him. I'm seeking him. This is what I do. Like, you've got to tell yourself, this is what I do. When I face the trouble, what I do is I go to the Lord. That's just what I do. I'm not going to let myself fall apart. Come on, let me preach this. I'm not going to let myself fall apart because I've got my mind set on him. I've got my mind on living out God's plans. I've got my mind set on following Jesus. And even though this is happening in the valley, this is happening in the valley, somebody's got to make a way through this wilderness. Somebody's got to make a path. And if God wants to use me, let's do it because I am going to get there. Come on. Can we get a little tenacity in our faith? Can we catch a little attitude with our faith? We catch an attitude for everything else. Somebody does us wrong. Oh, you ain't going to cut me off. Start driving crazy trying to get in front of them. And yet in our own lives, whenever chaos ensues, we just let the enemy run all over us. Oh, this is too crazy. Let me pull over and get out the way. You got to catch an attitude with your faith and say, I'm not getting off track. We're staying the course. Kids are going crazy. I don't know what we're going to do. We're going to stay the course. When you're having that conversation, your friends are like, what are you going to do? And you saying, I don't know. I don't know. This is what you got to say. I do know that I'm going to keep following Jesus. That's what I do know. I do know that I'm going to keep leaning on him for strength instead of trying to do this on my own. Are you grabbing this today? So I'm going to seek him, but I got to set my mind. See, we believe stuff with our heart, but it's our mind that is just crazy. We listen to one country song, next thing you know, we got new ideas. And we're depressed. How did that happen? I thought I liked that song. Now it's messing me up. You understand what I'm talking about? Remember that song came out, that happy song was in the Despicable Me with the Minions? Remember that? At first, when that song came out, it was good, you know? Clap along if you feel like happiness is the truth. Come on. You know what I'm talking about? Like, it just feels good. And so everybody, and now you hear that song, you're just eye rolling. Turn it off. I don't like that song. My little girl, when that movie Frozen came out, you know, a little Let It Go show? That little snowman in there, Olaf, used to love him. She would sing that little song. Now you ask her to sing that, she just gives you a look. It's kind of the look that Cynthia gives me sometimes. It's being passed down to the next generation. She'll just look at you like, don't you ever ask me to sing that song again. You hear what I'm talking about, though? Because our modes of inspiration, our sources dry up. That's what I'm trying to tell you. Our sources dry up. You know how, you ever seen that friend post this on social media and they start talking about changing relationships with people? And one season they were great, the next season you got to kind of like evict them out of your life. We all know what happened, by the way. We know what just happened. You had a blow up with your BFF from high school and now you found a new friend. We know that, okay? Why? What's going on there? We had a source of inspiration. We had a source of strength that dried up. Or maybe we looked in a place of strength that was limited. Happens everywhere. Happens when that mom couldn't wait to have kids and that kid became the joy of their life and then that kid turned into a teenager. Hey, no shame on the teenagers. Listen, teenagers are just young adults. That's what they are. Don't get mad at them because at one point you were a teenager stressing your mom and dad out too. Seriously. And y'all were crazy. I heard y'all tell these stories. In my house, never mind, let's not talk about that. That didn't happen with Jimmy. So watch this. In Colossians, it says, set your minds on things above. Set your mind. I've got to set my mind there. If I don't set my mind's going to go anywhere. It's controlling your thoughts. And you're like, I can't control my thoughts. You know how you control your thoughts? With what you say. That's how. And when we don't say it, we just keep believing what our mind is saying. Because it's hard to think of something and say something different at the same time. And so if you sit there over and over saying, white horse, white horse, white horse, white horse, white horse, say white horse. It's hard to think of something else when you say white horse. Because your mouth is speaking something and your mind immediately creates a picture of what you're speaking. But whenever you don't speak these things and your mind just keeps running, your mind starts painting pictures of things that aren't even true. That's your imagination. And the Bible tells us that we've got to cast down some imaginations and bring them into captivity to the obedience of Christ. That's what the Bible tells us we have to do. But we let our imagination run wild because we watched a few little TV shows that said, let your imagination be set free. And listen, draw, paint, do all the great creative things. But when it comes to everyday life, we've got to be able to control our thoughts. Amen? 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 And that means you got to set your mind on something. And when you set your mind, what do we say? If you put your mind to it, you can do it. Isn't that what we tell the kids? Believe it and you'll achieve it. All those little rhymes. And then you turn 30 and you don't believe that anymore. Got to believe it. And what does that mean? I've got to set my mind on things above, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is excellent, whatever is praiseworthy. Think about these things. So watch this. My circumstances may be in the valley, but my mind is set on God. It doesn't seem like you're all there. You're going through something. Do you realize you're going through something? Yeah, I know I'm going through something, but my mind is somewhere else. Where's your mind at? My mind is set in the high places. My mind is where we're going. My mind is set on that mountain in Zion because that's where I want to go. And right now, I'm just going through Baca, so excuse me while I go through Baca, but my mind is set on Zion. Are you grabbing this today? Anybody in Baca? Come on, you might be in Baca, but the mind's got to be set on, I'm going to Zion. My mind is fixed. So watch this. My heart might be anxious, but my mind is fixed. My soul might be aching, but my mind is fixed. My emotions might be racing, but my mind is fixed. I'm set on it. So maybe right now, you got a lot to do. Christmas is coming, and financially, you're looking at it, you're like, this ain't working. And you may have promised somebody something. And then you're trying to figure out all the plans. And your in-laws are giving you a lot to think about when you put your head down at night. See what I'm saying? And then other things are beginning to occur at work. Different things are just breaking down. And isn't it funny what our mind starts to do? It starts racing. My mind is racing. It's running. Can't sleep. Can't even eat. There's good food in front of me, but I can't eat. What's going on? I've got to set my mind. Lord, I'm set my mind on seeking you, but I'm set my mind on you that I'm going to have this tenacious faith that no matter what's going on in this valley, my mind is set on following you. I'm going to get through this. Come on, you got to tell yourself, I'm going to get through this. We're going to get through this. Come on, look at your neighbor and tell him, we're going to get through this. We're going to get through this. Psalms 84, verse 6, if we keep reading, it says, as they pass through the valley of Baca, they make it a place of springs. As they pass through the valley of Baca. And I thought about this, that it's, you might be in the valley, but that wasn't meant to be the destination. That's just where you're passing through along the way. You remember in Psalms 23 what David wrote? Even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. Why? Because you're with me. Even though I walk through the valley, I don't have to be afraid because my mind is set on you, that you are with me. So many times, watch this, this is so important. Many times in the valley, we are looking for the way out. But the way is through, not out. That's why so many people are lost, because they look for a way out. And God's saying, hey, you're going to make it through this. Come on, I got to say that to somebody. You're going to make it through this. You're going to make it through this. I know what the doctor said. You're going to make it through this. I know it's hard, but you're going to make it through this. Let's set our minds. Let's set our minds on things above instead of all the possibilities of what we read on WebMD. Come on, we know how we do that. Oh, my left leg. That's right leg. My left leg. Y'all do it too. Don't act like you don't. You ever went to turn right and you turn your blinker on to go left? I did it the other day. That's what's making me think about it. Didn't mean to, but I forgot what I was saying. See what y'all do? A lot of times, though, when we look for a way out, we get lost. Let me say it like this. We get confidently lost. You know what I'm talking about? In other words, I'm not going to give you the impression that I don't have a clue where I'm going. I really don't know, but I'm going to be confident going that way. That's what we do. And we give this appearance of we're so sure, only to find ourselves down the road, we're more lost than we've ever been. And this is where we're looking for everybody. Like, where's everybody at? Everybody left me. No, they didn't leave you. They're just trying to figure out where you're going. Come on. Where are you going? Get back on track. Set your mind. Set your mind. This is where I need to go. This is the path I need to be on. So let's dig deeper real quick, okay? Let's finish this up. Jerusalem is Zion, this mountain. This is the house of God, also known as, watch this, you ready? The city of refuge. It's the place of peace. You getting this now? We were going through the valley of tears, but our destination was the place of peace. This Zion, this house of God, and to get to Zion, the city of refuge, I had to travel through Baca, the valley of tears. And so for many, the valley is the pathway to the place of peace. So many people turn their life over to the Lord when they're in the valley, when things in their life is falling apart, because they need help. And God continues to issue the invitation, and he's saying, come to me, all ye who labor and are heavy laden. That means all of you that are carrying a lot of stress and are overwhelmed. And he's saying, come to me, come to me. And so he issues the invitation. And most of the time we don't respond to the invitation because we enjoy the scenery of the mountain. But when we're going through the valley, that's where we begin to experience the situations that help us to see that I should have responded to the invitation all along. Are you grabbing this today? I should have just kept going to him. And so that's why in those moments we feel so guilty and overwhelmed, because we knew we should have been doing it all along. And the enemy uses that stuff to make us feel like God doesn't want you. God left you a long time ago. You don't want anything to do with you. You better get your act together before you come. And those are the things that make it so hard for people to come back to church. Those are the things that make it so hard for people to take the next step in their faith, because they're still trying to clean up mess that only God can clean up. Come on, only God can clean it up. And so God is still today saying, come to me. He's saying, come to me. The valley is getting me off track though, God. And God said, just keep traveling, keep coming, keep coming. So watch this. As they pass through the valley of Baca, they make it a place of springs. And I love this stuff because there are so many things that are hidden in Scripture that if you just dig a little bit, you start to see, and it's pretty amazing. Because this valley, remember what I told you earlier, it's like a deserted place. It's like it's the valley of tears. It's the valley of, like, it's almost like a wilderness. And what did God say? He says, make it a place of springs. You ever been to the springs before? You know what I'm saying? I remember when I was a kid, we went on this camping trip back in Louisiana. We went up north to Mississippi. That was north to us, by the way. It's right there in Mississippi. And there's this place called Tunica Hills. And Cynthia said that place is the devil, but it's pretty nice. It's like uphill both ways, okay? And so there are certain places up there where out the side of these cliffs, there's water just leaking out of it. It's clean water, too. And so I can remember going up there with a water bottle that was empty and just sticking it there and collecting the water and drinking. I know when you're kids, you do all that stuff. When you get older, you start thinking about germs and all that. But if you dig a little bit more, you start finding really clean water. And the water is cool. And the water is refreshing. And most of the time, the last thing that we want to do is dig. Because I'm just trying to get through this. You know what I'm saying? But can I tell you, there's some things in the valley that are priceless for your life. There are things in the valley that make you appreciate the mountaintops even more. See, it's all about your perspective. And so right here, it's saying when they pass through the valley of Baca, through the dry places, they make it a place of springs. And the King James Version, it says they make it a well. In other words, there is a source of life even in the middle of these crazy places. But a lot of times we're so covered up with worry and doubt and all these different things, we can't find it. And this is where you got to dig your way through the mess. Right now, our garage, we just moved into this new house and you got to empty the storage unit. You bring it into the garage. Anybody feeling the pain? It is just there. And we had to find a birth certificate. Somebody right now, you almost let a word slip right there, and it ain't even your situation. We found it right away. That was a mountaintop for us, man, because I was prepared for the valley, man. I was prepared for some moments with the Lord, but it was right there. Sometimes it's right there. Sometimes you got to dig for it. So here's the point I want to make, yeah? You got to seek him. You got to set your mind. But here's the third thing, and this is going to stretch it. You got to show your faith. Notice what I said. You've got to show your faith. And this ain't about showing your faith to others. This is about showing your faith to yourself. In other words, I'm not just going to say I believe it. I'm actually going to do what I believe. Are you grabbing this? I'm not just going to say I believe it. I believe it. I believe. I believe. I believe. It's I'm going to do what I believe. I'm going to act upon what I actually believe. And this is the place where we most often fall short. This is the place where we say, I don't know how to do this. And the reason that we say that is because no one else can do it for us. That's why. No one else can give you enough encouragement. No one else can give you enough scripture verses. No one else can come and do it for you at that moment. It's just you showing that I truly, truly believe this. There's a story about this town that was in the middle of a drought. And they needed rain. It was a farming community. They needed rain so bad. And they were really getting to the point of desperation. And in a town where political correctness and separation of church and state was dominant, they realized they needed some help. And so the leaders of the community called upon the different churches there and asked them to come to the main town square, and all the different expressions of faith and all the different denominations would all have a turn to pray and call on God or whoever it is that they worship and ask for rain. And so all the different people show up with all their different paraphernalia and expressions, all their different things and scripted prayers. And one by one, they would approach the podium and begin to pray, do their presentation. And at the end of it, the situation was still the same. And there were different people there that were kind of upset with all the faith leaders, because when you preach that God is a miracle-working God, he should be able to make something happen right after you ask. And y'all are asking, and y'all are the holy people, so if God's not responding to your prayers, why would he respond to ours? Y'all hearing that? But there was one person that showed up at this whole prayer gathering. And instead of bringing the biggest Bible to present how spiritual they really were, or the necklace with all the beads and the crosses on it, or the tambourine with the streamers, the rolled up scrolls. This young child decided to show up with an umbrella. And I tell that story because I wonder which one of those people do you really believe had the faith? See, it looks really good to have the big Bible, the big one, white, gold letters, Holy Bible, Santa Biblia, Spanish. With the little picture of Jesus, you know, the oval picture in the middle? Big Bible, gold leaf pages. Thumbed index, ribbon bookmark, three of them, red, blue, and black. It's really cool showing up with the prayer shawls with all the little tassels hanging on them, and every little tassel represents something. Oh, that's cool. But with all the little trinkets and all the little things that you could show up with, it doesn't show faith quite like bringing out an umbrella in the middle of a drought. Because the person that shows up with the umbrella is expecting rain to occur. Like if you showed up today without an umbrella, either A, you forgot you don't have one. That's a good Christmas gift, by the way. Because it's going to rain. And a lot of times we're better at saying our faith than showing our faith. See, we're asking people to come pray for me. Come pray for me. Come pray for me. But what about calling someone and say, hey, come pray with me. See, when you're saying come pray with me, it's a different mindset. The mindset isn't, oh, no, we're not going to make it through this. The mindset is, hey, why don't you come put your faith together with mine, and let's move this thing down the road a little bit further. You ever had to push a vehicle by yourself? It's hard. But have someone come push it with you. Gets a little bit easier. Get three people to help you. It's even easier. Get a whole group of people. You'll pick that car up. I seen a group of guys in college pick up a 1988 Cadillac. Long one. Soft yellow. Big pointy headlights in the back. It was in the way. Couldn't find the people. They were tailgating at the LSU game. Right where the drum line for the band warms up. That's a problem. So we just got around the car and picked it up, set it down, and carried on about our business. Funny story. But it's showing faith. That car's too heavy. You'll never pick that up. I know. By myself, I cannot. But let me get together with some people. And listen, the common belief that faith, it's what propelled people to do what they were doing. That's why it's important that you run with the right people. People that's going to keep you in the place of depending on God. Listen, I want you to follow the lead of our church. But listen, at the end of the day, you got to follow Jesus. You have got to trust in him. We can inspire you. We can teach you. We can lead you. But you got to make sure that you've got a relationship with God. Because situations are going to come up that are not on Sunday morning at 10 o'clock. They're going to show up on Thursday night at 12:30. This is where your faith is shown that, hey, I'm not going to give up on God. When you're in the hospital room, and even though the doctor is saying, I don't know what else we can do, instead of just running with that, I'm going to keep believing God. Went to visit this lady years ago. This was in our church back at home. Her name was Miss Beulah. It's Beulah Williams. And her husband, Mr. Gene, taught me children's church and Sunday school when I was a kid. And, I mean, he was tough. He didn't put up with anything. Like, if your shirt was untucked, like, he would be rolling right now. So angry at me. Tuck that shirt in, boy. Where's your belt? Like, that kind of guy. And I remember his wife was really sick. And so we were taking turns, all the different pastors going to visit them. And he wanted us just to come pray. And this is what he said, come pray with me. So I remember I showed up at that house the first day. Mr. Gene came to the door, and he held his hand on the door frame like this, and he opened the door, and he looks at me. He said, what are you coming pray? He said, because there's only one thing we're praying for, and that's for God to heal her. And if you ain't going to pray that, you can go ahead and leave. I was not expecting that. I thought he was just going to welcome me in. We were going to pray, and I'd bring a little bit of comforting counsel, and then I'd carry on my business. I thought I was going to come and encourage him in his faith, and yet I was challenged in mine. And so he said, you going to pray and believe? I said, yes, sir. He said, come on in. And we went to the room, and I wasn't ready for that because it wasn't looking good at all. And that's what he told me. He said, pray like God's going to heal her. Yes, sir. This old military guy. I was scared. Can I be honest? I was scared. I was young. I was just new at this whole pastoring thing. I thought it was just going to be the courtesy prayer. I really did. And it wound up being a signature moment for me in my life. And this is what he told me. I don't want to hear this whole I'm praying for God's will stuff. I want to hear one thing. I want to hear you say, God, we're believing you're going to heal her. Yes, sir. And it took everything in me that day to pray a prayer of faith and pray with this man instead of just praying for his comfort, pray for God's healing in this woman's life. It took everything, and I'm just being honest and transparent today, it took everything in me. And I prayed. I don't know where it came from, but I prayed that day. And I remember getting in the vehicle afterwards saying, what did I just do? You know what I'm saying? Like, it was like, I never done this before. And this is what I realized. God let me in on somebody else's valley to see him in a way and experience this opportunity to show faith in a way I've never, ever shown before. I've never seen that before. And this man, I'm telling you, his faith was so strong. A few months later, his wife passed away. And this is what he told me at the funeral. This is what he came up to me and he called me Brother Wade. He said, Brother Wade, God was faithful to me. He kept her living day after day after day. And finally he said, Gene, that's enough. I want her with me now. What? That's mind-blowing. Am I right? Like the perspective. And every time I see him, thank you for coming to pray that day. And really, I should be the one saying, thank you for challenging me that day. Because I had never prayed like that before in my life. Maybe today you're walking through a valley. Maybe today it's overwhelming for you. Think about things that Jesus told these people in these situations. Cripple man, he says, stretch out your hand. The lame man, he said, get up and walk. What was he doing? He's saying, don't just tell me you believe it. Show it. Show it. He said, if you draw near to me, I'll draw near to you. If you seek me, you'll find me. So here's the final word right here. God never says you won't go through the valleys, but you never have to go through the valleys alone. He never said you're not going to go through one, but he does promise that you'll never go through it alone. He's your peace in the storm, your joy in the trouble, your strength when you're weak. Here's the last verse and we're done. Psalms 139, verse 7. Where can I go from your spirit? Where can I flee from your presence? If I go up to the heavens, you are there. If I make my bed in the depths, you are there. If I rise on the wings of the dawn, if I settle on the far side of the sea, even there your hand will guide me, your right hand will hold me fast. He's there. Maybe today you're going through the valley, he's there. Every head bowed, every eye closed. If you're today, find yourself, you're in a valley. And yet the place to where it's not just pray for me, but it's pray with me. Pray with me. I want you to lift your hand right now because we want to pray with you. Pray with you. And this is what I want you to do today. I want you to take a step. I want you to come up out of your seats today, and I want you to come up here to the front, and I want to pray with you. Cynthia's going to join me here, and we're just going to come and lay a hand on you, and we're just going to pray for you. And I want to ask everyone else out there in their seats, if you would just stretch a hand. Come on. I want you to come, and as soon as you come, we're going to begin to pray. And I want, come on, church, I want you praying as well, because there's some folks who are going through some things today. They're walking through a valley, and they need to know that there's some people that's walking with them. I'm with you. I'm with you. I'm with you in the valley. He said, I'm with you in the valley. If you got a friend up here, maybe they were in your e-group, I want you to come stand behind them. Just come stand with them. I believe God's going to touch some people. Listen, my prayer is this, that your mind is going to be set. Your mind is going to be set. Set. Father, today, we pray for every one of these folks that are standing up here today. And God, even though they walk through the valley, they may feel all alone. I thank you that you are with them. And I pray, God, you will give them the reassurance to know that they are not alone. And even though this situation may feel so overwhelming, even though it may be so hard, Father, I thank you that in the valley, they're growing. They're becoming stronger. They're learning things about you. They're learning things about themselves, Father. And they're becoming the person that you wanted them to be. And so, Lord, my prayer is this. In this place that is full of tears, Father, I pray, God, that you will bring them to the place of joy. I pray, God, that you will lead them, God, to Zion, that they would stay on course, Father, and their minds would be set on you. And even though it's hard, even though it may feel like no one is there with them, God, I thank you that you promised that you are with us. So, Lord, I pray that their minds will be set on you. So, Lord, right now, we're making up our minds. I'm following you. I'm trusting you no matter what the circumstances say, no matter what the situation say. I'm following you. I'm staying on the course. And I pray, Lord, they would begin to show their faith now.